are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at Commonwealth Bank. And today I'm joined by Stephen Halmerich, our chief economist and head of research. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Belinda.
Now, the last week has been a pretty sobering time for the Australian economy. We did get labour market data for April on Thursday last week, and it did show around 600,000 jobs lost. And also we did see around 490,000 people leaving the labour market. There's been a lot of talk about in the past about the technical definition of a recession. What are your thoughts about how we should be thinking about the economic downturn in Australia?
Well, in Australia, some people take the technical definition of recession as two quarters in a row of negative GDP. And we haven't had that since 1991. But by if you like, some lack of timing, we could in this period see all of the economic downturn in one quarter, in the June quarter. We think over 9% for the quarter. So we may not actually get two quarters in a row of negative GDP growth. But I think if we then say, well, Australia didn't have a recession, that would be a mistake. It's worth noting that the chief statistician of Australia, Dr. David Gruen, so the man in charge of collecting all the data, says that the two quarters in a row of negative GDP definition of recession is inappropriate, and particularly in this environment. So I think we need to be careful that to really highlight that, unfortunately, Australia will be in a recession due to the COVID-19 period, even if we don't get two quarters in a row of negative GDP.
Now, as you said, it is by some small quirk with the timing. We did initially have a forecast of a downturn of a negative GDP print in the first quarter. We did have a pretty strong export figure come in, a very strong trade balances over the first quarter that has pushed our current estimate of Q1 GDP into the positive territory. And we've also had very weak import growth as well. And obviously that stocking up by households of retail goods late in March may also have helped Australia avoid, probably a pretty outdated definition of a recession. I think what is probably also worth highlighting when we talk about the impending or the current economic downturn in Australia is those labour market figures we did get out for April. Now, as I said, we did see a pretty hefty fall of around 600,000 jobs in April. That's obviously the largest on record. The unemployment rate, though, only lifted from 5.2% to 6.2%. Now, that was much lower than what people had expecting. What is the main reason why we didn't see such a large lift in the unemployment rate?
Well, this is something we've been highlighting, why our forecast for the peak in the unemployment rate of just under 9% is lower than many others. And it's to do with the fall in what's called the participation rate. So that's the percentage of people who could be in the labour force, either working or looking for work, are falling by almost 500,000 in the month of April. So the rate went from 66% in March to 63.5% in April. So that's people who lose their jobs and then don't go and look for another job. And in this current period, that makes a lot of sense. If you're working in, let's say, hospitality, you lose your job, you know that the venues are not reopening, so you don't even bother going to look for another job. You are then not counted as unemployed. You just leave the labour force. So there's these technical definitions that limit the rise in the unemployment rate. But I think we need to be very aware that it's still people without jobs and not working and not earning income through the traditional method of wages and salaries. So the labour market's a lot weaker than the headline unemployment rate might imply.
And even if we did have the unchanged participation rate, the unemployment rate would have been closer to 9.5%, which is pretty telling. And what we have seen in particular are the job losses and people leaving the workforce have been women and youth in particular. So the youth unemployment rate has risen, but also we've had younger people drop out of the workforce in a bigger proportion than older workers as well. So we are seeing the youth particularly impacted, and I think that's pretty much because a lot of youth are employed in those hospitality areas that have been caught up in the government shutdown measures, and women as well. And we weren't surprised to see that. We did think that second income earners may leave the workforce due to the juggling of homeschool that we're all experiencing at the moment. Now, we do get, obviously, further details in May. We do expect that unemployment rate to continue to lift, and we do have it peaking around just below 9% coming up. Now, Stephen, you have just released the April edition of the Household Spending Intentions series. What is it showing?
Yeah, so we've released the April numbers, so HSI. So that's the series where we combine the CBA transactional data with Google search data, the publicly available Google Trends data. And not surprisingly, it's showing the home buying spending intentions fell heavily in April. Travel spending intentions literally collapsed, and that makes a lot of sense when people were not allowed to travel. And entertainment spending intentions also very, very weak. Education spending intentions were down, but only marginally. So there's an offset, if you like, as people are homeschooling and looking at online courses. And we saw motor vehicle spending intentions pretty much flat on the month. And overall retail spending intentions for April back to where they were in February. So we know we had the big spike up in March, and then in April we're kind of back to where we were at the start of the year. I think the one bright spot is health and fitness spending attention. So they're actually up on the month. That's things like nursing and personal care, but also a big increase in people going to bicycle shops and also buying fitness equipment. So that's not a bad sign for overall fitness and general well-being.
I know we're using the April HSI figures to help us estimate what retail sales have done in April. So in March, we did have retail sales spike by 8.5%, the biggest on record. And that was obviously due to all the household stockpiling that we saw at the end of March. We saw very outsized purchases in things like toilet paper, pasta, rice, flour, things like that. When we look at the retail component of the HSI, we do estimate that retail sales could be down by as much as 11% in April. So as you said, all of the unwind that we saw from the big boost in March. Now, we're also tracking CBA credit card spend data by week at the moment. The latest data, which also came out today on the 19th of May, was for the week ended May 15. What's the overall trend telling us at the moment?
Well, so the credit and debit card spending for the week to the 15th of May was minus 2% on the year, and that's actually the same as the previous week. But that's a substantial improvement from the lowest point in the cycle, which was minus 20% in the week to the 10th of April. So after that big fall in the middle of April, we've seen this steady improvement in overall spending on CBA credit and debit cards, so down around 2% on the year. But I think we do need to remember that prior to COVID-19, spending was running at around about a 5% increase on the year. So we're edging our way back to more normal spending, but still certainly have quite some way to go.
And we would expect also that that's picking up a little bit of increased spending on card rather than cash. So that may actually be limiting the potential improvement we've seen during the coronavirus period as well, as people are choosing to spend in a different way. And we've also continued to see a pickup in online sales compared to in-store sales, although both are picking up at the moment. What is, I guess, if we think about the next couple of weeks, we have seen some easing in economic shutdown measures. In New South Wales, for example, we have seen some partial reopening of cafes and restaurants, boot camps as well, outdoor boot camps, and the same is happening in other states as well. What do you think we should be looking for to kind of get a gauge of how household behaviour is changing as the economy slowly opens back up?
Yes, I think that's right. As we do go into this, you know, stage one reopening of the economy, we should expect things like clothing and footwear to start improving as people get back to the shopping centres. I think we should expect a continued improvement in the health and fitness category. As you say, people are allowed to do a bit more exercise in groups. I think the fact that schools are beginning to return to more normal operation will help confidence a lot as well as the education sector. So overall, we would expect the trend in spending to continue to improve as the economy opens up, but it's going to be a slow and, I think, rather patchy.
So keeping on top of that high-frequency data will continue to be very important.
Yes, I think this is really where both the household spending intention series on a monthly basis and the weekly credit and debit card spending data really comes into its own to give us early and high-frequency good insights on the economy.
All right. Appreciate your insight, Stephen.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. Now, the two reports that we've just mentioned, the CBA Household Spending Intentions series for April and the CBA Weekly Card Spend Data were both released on the 19th of May and can be found at combankresearch.com.au.